Hey, y'all, I got a question for you. What's a piece of gear that you maybe have unintentionally overlooked in your rig throughout the years? Well, for me, it's always been guitar cables. I figured it just goes from the guitar to the amplifier or the guitar to the pedal board to the amp, and if one breaks, whatever, I'll just go buy another one. No big deal. Thanks to the fine folks at Runway Audio, though, I have finally seen the light. Runway Audio is based in Nashville, Tennessee, which is awesome for me because that's right down the road. But it's awesome for you as well because Runway has the best cable on the market. And what makes it the best, you ask? Well, it has the lowest capacitance of any cable on the market right now, at 20 picofarads per foot. And pretty much all that capacitance is the ability to store an electrical charge. The lower the capacitance is, the less tone that it sucks from your cable from your guitar on the way to your amplifier. So if you're in the market for anything cable-related, whether it's instrument cables, patch cables, XLR cables, speaker cables, power cables, you name it, Runway Audio has got you covered. And if you go down to my link tree, click the link for Runway Audio, any purchasing you will do, I will get a little bit of a kickback from that, which is always appreciated. So check out all the awesome stuff that Runway Audio is doing and pick something up to get the best tone possible. This episode today is brought to you by Stringjoy Guitar Strings, the finest strings on the market. For me, it has been the Orbiters that have been my absolute go-to ever since they have come out, and that's their coated electric strings. But if the coated thing's not your thing, totally get it. The Signatures and the Broadways in their electric line, top-notch quality. For acoustic guitars, they have their Naturals and their Brights, along with the Foxwoods, which are their coated Fosper Bronze. For all you bassists out there, too, they have the Signatures and the Rangers. Full disclosure, the link down below is my affiliate link, so if you would like to check out Stringjoy, click that link down below. Not only will you be getting the finest guitar strings on the market, but you'll also be helping out this podcast, which I greatly appreciate. So head on over to Stringjoy today. I'm not even close to the tip of the iceberg of all the awesome things that Stringjoy does, so click the link down below and check them out for yourself. Well, hey, everybody, welcome back. So today I have a super awesome guest for you. But before we get to that, let's knock out this housekeeping, shall we? If you want to check me out on any social media platform, you can check me out on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. Pretty much if you search Man the Helm, you're probably going to find me there. But if you don't want to do all that, you can scroll right on down to the link tree down below and get everything right down there laid out all nice and neat. Down there, you'll see all the affiliate links for Runway Audio, as well as the fabulous Stringjoy, which you already heard about. But also, there will be a link to my Patreon. If you want to check out anything for the Patreon, starts at as little as $1 a month, and there are a few other more tiers. We're doing some bonus episodes now. So check out that if you're interested. If not, totally appreciate you just spending your time here with me today. So enough of all this. Let's get to today's episode. Welcome back to Man the Helm Podcast. I'm your host, Jake. Today, I'm sitting down with Co Schneider. What's up, man?
Hey, not much. Just chilling.
Yeah. Well, we've kind of been friends on the interwebs for quite a little while now. Not a whole lot, but, you know, about probably a year and some change now.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, man, like, I love what you're posting. I love the Night Tide stuff that I'm seeing. But I really don't know a whole lot about you besides just what I see on Instagram and stuff like that. So before we kind of get into what you're doing today, could we kind of start off with maybe your musical background, how you kind of got inspired to start doing all this stuff? We can kind of go from there.
Yeah, we can. I'll do the quick abridged version if that's all right with you.
Whatever you want to do, man.
All right. So started off, wanted to be in a band in high school. So I took guitar. We had a guitar class in high school and I failed because the guitar player said I played guitar like it was a bass.
Okay.
So I decided to be a bass player after that. And I played in a covers band with my uncle for a while, started my own garage punky band with my uncle. And that was in high school, and then joined a couple other bands and just back and forth. And, you know how the high school bands thing go into college. Oh, yeah. And
yep.
I went to school to be a music major and quickly dropped out to go on tour and then didn't go on tour.
Oh, gotcha.
But I'd already dropped out. So, got a job in construction, got married, but never stopped playing. And when we had our first kid, my ability to be in a band, like I thought that it had changed more than it really had. And so I started getting more into the gear side of things and like loving on pedals and various amps and stuff. Mm-hmm. And deep dived there and really got into the 60 Cycle Hum community.
Okay, yeah.
Got hooked up with some builders that I ended up starting a business for a while where I represented custom guitar builders, like doing a traveling cool. road show.
Yeah.
So did that for a couple of years until it wasn't financially viable, and was on a podcast for a while called The Flippin' Flippers with my buddy Paul. And then I did that for like 3 years, I think. And then I moved to Tennessee and I've fallen into obscurity. So
there you go. Well, I think that's kind of the life of creatives though. I mean, you always have to kind of pivot to what you got to do to, especially in your situation. I'm kind of in the same boat. I've got two kids as well, you know? So you have to do what makes sense to take care of the family. But on top of, you know, I think that's why a lot of people that I've talked to here lately really, really love the gear side of things. You know yeah. what I mean? And you can really dive deep and you can be a part of that community. Like you were saying with the 60 Cycle Hum guys or the plethora of other gear groups that are, you know, out online right now.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of the way to do it, but you still never lose what, you know, you originally were wanting to do, which is play music. You're just having to do it slightly different than yeah. what you thought you were going to do. You know, that's really all it is.
Mm-hmm.
Where did you fail in school or whatever? What school, what did you say you went to college for? And what school did you go to?
I was going for a music degree.
Okay.
Just a community college in San Diego.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and I just, once I found out that I didn't have to take all the prescribed classes that they wanted,
right.
And I could take whatever I wanted, there was no way I was going to get a degree. Because instead of taking, you know, biology and math, I decided, well, I'll take performance guitar and guitar theory and music theory and piano theory and, you know, creative writing and all that stuff. So
right. Well, yeah, I was going to say, I didn't know if it was going to be a bigger school or the community college thing. Both of which are fine.
Yeah.
I quickly realized I went to a summer program at Berkeley way back in the day and I was just like, wow, this is amazing, but I'm never going to be able to afford to actually do this. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like it was way too, and don't get me wrong. Like I'm sure it would have been extremely beneficial to attend a course like that for a degree. But after talking to a handful of people that have attended and done that, you know, I don't want to say it's a waste of time because that's not the right phrase. It just didn't make sense for what I needed to do, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So if you're thinking about doing something like that, it just needs to make sense. You know, you need to have that goal in mind. So what kind of inspired the move from San Diego to Nashville, if you don't mind me asking?
Yeah. So my wife and I have been married for 16 years now.
Okay.
And on our first anniversary, we took a trip to Nashville.
Nice.
It was, you know, I've been a musician since high school, and so I thought, let's go there. It's a music town, and we both loved it, and we always thought that we would own a second home in mm-hmm. Tennessee. Turns out that we're not that type of rich people to have
right.
a second home in a different state. So,
right.
But when the market went up in California a couple years ago, it just seemed like the right time. You know, our kids were at the right ages that it would be okay with, you know, moving them. We were going to be set up pretty well. So it felt right. A lot of our friends had moved out here ahead of us. So it was good. It was good timing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I got into the Clarksville area about 6 years ago and I really mm-hmm. enjoyed the area just because I'm not in Nashville, but I'm close enough if I want to go do the cool stuff, whatever
yeah.
the quote unquote cool stuff is. Down in Nashville, you know, I'm just right up the road.
Yeah, and we're down in Spring Hill, so.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so we're like equidistance from Nashville as you, I think.
Right, yeah, probably, what, 30, 40 minutes-ish, yep. somewhere in mm-hmm. there, yeah. And that's kind of the way to do it, because I had a few friends that kind of live up north, and they were talking about, you know, getting into music and really trying to push hard, and they're like, well, I'm just going to move to Nashville. I'm like, yeah, dude, do it, but don't live in Nashville, because you're just going to ruin yourself financially if you're trying to be that up-and-coming artist or whatever you want to try to do in Nashville and trying to live in the city while that you're trying to do that. Good luck trying to eat, man.
Right.
You know, because I've done the whole Broadway thing and the gigging down there, and it's great because there's always a gig available. As long as you're willing to say yes to it, there's always a gig available.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is you just get into these situations where, you know, if you go do the Broadway thing, you know, most of these places that I played at, you were guaranteed like, hey, here's like $60. Rest is tips. Good luck.
Yeah.
It's like, well, okay, cool. Yeah. We're going to try to work it and try to, you know, get it going. But I mean, you were only guaranteed, you know, with four or five people in a band to make $15 at the end of the night. You know,
yeah.
That's it.
Hopefully.
You know, yeah, if that. And not on top of, you know, the walking to venues with, you know, a cart full of gear, it just drove me nuts. So I kind of got sick and tired of that kind of gigging scene. But Sounds like when you got down here, though, you're not doing like the cover thing. You're trying to, you know, do the more original music side of things. So maybe we can start talking about Night Tides and how that kind of started to happen. I know it's a little bit more than just I moved down here and we started a band, so you know.
Yeah. So Night Tides was actually started by my friend Ryan Poole. Yep. He and I were in several bands together back in San Diego, mm-hmm. and he moved to Nashville to be a record producer and is. That's his living. He's a record producer. He has a studio on Music Row. But during COVID, when things got slow, he wanted to kind of experiment with like a signature sound and a direction that he wanted to be known for. And so he wrote and recorded a song, which is the first Night Tides track, because he wanted, mm-hmm. he liked it and he wanted to put it out. So he came up with a name for the band and a whole image and everything. And it kind of just grew from that one song. After he did that, another member joined, and then it's kind of like every song that's gone by, a new member has joined the band.
Nice.
And, when I told him I was moving out here, he's like, I'll find a spot in the band for you. Like,
right.
You're in. So, whether it was going to be a guitar player, tambourine guy, whatever. But it just so happened he was looking for a bass player at about the same time I moved out here. And that's my first instrument. So,
yeah, there you go. Too easy. I mean, that's the easiest audition I'm sure anybody has ever had. You know what I mean? It's like, it's guaranteed. Just get here. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I was actually in his music videos before it was
a
band.
Nice.
Because he the first song, it's Forever Baby, he came out to San Diego to record a music video. He's like, I'm coming out to record a music video. And I said, I want to be in it. And he told me that I was too old. he said, nah. He's like, I want a younger look. I want a younger demographic. And
that's fair.
Yeah. But then the night before, he called me. And he's like, hey, the guy that was going to pretend to play guitar backed out. Can you come?
Yeah.
And can you bring a drum set too? And can you bring all, like, I had to supply equipment.
Right.
But that's what got me in. And then I was in the next music video. And then.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, it's kind of funny to me. I've talked to a handful of people. I've only been doing this for about a year now, but I've talked to a handful of people, and whether it's builders, whether it's actual artists, people doing the social media thing. There's still this weird misconception. I kind of wanted to touch on the you're too old thing. You know what I mean? Aesthetically, I understand where he's coming from, but as an individual, it's one of the things I always try to preach on this show is just like, it's never too late. You're never too old. If it's something you want to do, just get out and do it. Now, mm-hmm. for instance, with you and me having families that we have to support, we have to do that slightly differently than a 21-year-old that's just moving to a music city.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Because I can't afford to not have a normal 9-to-5 right now. Mm-hmm. Now, the second I do, Yes, absolutely. I'm going to be all in. And I am all in on the music side of things. It's just you have to be patient and wait for that opportunity to present itself. And even then, it's still kind of a leap. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And especially with, like, even you having that plan of moving here, that was probably kind of a leap within itself. You know what I mean? Just that change of environment, not knowing exactly. I mean, I'm sure, I know you had a plan when you were getting here, but it's still like moving across the country. Right. Yeah. Moving across the country, that's a pretty big endeavor, especially for a family, you know?
Well, I can't imagine. You were a military guy first, right? Or yes. Previously?
Yes. Yeah.
So is that how you landed on Clarksville or?
Yeah, man. I got put at Campbell, and that's my wife and I bought a house here. Our kids were, when I got to Campbell, were just starting elementary school. And I was just like, well, I'm originally from Indianapolis, Indiana. Okay. And I was like, well,
it's not too far.
No. It's like, well, we could move back or we could just stay here. Both the kids are in school. Yeah. You know, I'm a stone's throw away from Nashville. And we're only 4 hours away from where we live anyway. So if we want to take a weekend, it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I couldn't imagine moving across the country like that. Because being here, at least I'm kind of centrally located. You know what I mean? To where I'm from.
Yeah.
You know, going all the way. I mean, you went well past the central part of the country. You know, you're almost over to the East Coast. You know what I mean? By the distance.
Yeah, as close as I've ever been. So.
Yeah. And it's good though. I mean, it's one of those things. I feel like you guys made a good decision based on the circumstances. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? And you're obviously enjoying. You know, how long have you been here now? It's been what? Almost
2 years.
2 years now. Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Close to it, yeah.
I have this thing in my head, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I feel like I'm really wrong, but for some reason I can't get it out of my head. Last time Blake Weiland was down here, did we meet there?
Yeah,
when he had that little pizza party.
Yeah.
Okay, dude. Okay, that I was thinking about that all week. I'm like, I know I've met him before, but I can't remember if that was it.
Yeah, there was pizza involved and guitars. So, yep.
Okay. Oh yeah. Okay. Cool. I just wanted to make sure, man. I didn't want to think of a story and be completely off on it.
Yeah.
But no, that's what I love about the community that, you know, musicians have, especially the online thing, because you can go from just talking to somebody online, participating in gear groups, to having an event like that happens, and now everybody is friends.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You can just show up, and we get to nerd out about whatever the hottest new gear take is or whatever the new product is that's coming out, and we can just sit and talk for hours.
Yeah.
You know, I don't, and maybe this is me speaking just kind of naively because I'm not in a different sort of niche environment, but I don't feel like it's the same in like, I mean, maybe it is in like golfing, you know, niches or what. I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
could be.
It's a really cool thing with musicians. We have this struggle that we went through learning the instrument, whether, you know, like you said, it was bass or guitar or piano, whatever your first instrument was, there was a struggle there. And now you can sit there and relate that with all these other people. And now we get to talk about other stuff that's super rad and coming out in the gear world and whatnot. And I've said it before, but there's not been a better time to be a musician, in my opinion, than right now. And I feel like it's only getting better. And people like to play the devil's advocate thing with, oh, well, it's just oversaturated. You know, I hate when people say that with, like, it's like, it's oversaturated. It's like, well, if it was oversaturated, every time a company put out a type of tube screamer, it wouldn't sell. you know what I mean?
Sometimes they don't, but.
well, it's fair, but but that's kind of like the common joke, right? It's like,
right.
Oh, great, another tube screamer, but
yeah,
then everybody has it.
Yeah.
Right. But it's just, I really like, you know, the community of musicians that you get to interact with on a daily basis that, and otherwise, like, you know, just as well as I do, you don't have any business talking to these people unless you were in that sort of community, you know, which is really rad.
A lot of my closest friends now are people that I've met through, honestly, podcasts, Facebook groups originally, you know, so.
Yeah.
I did a podcast for, I think it was 3 years with a guy that I started recording with. And I never met, like, Paul lives in New York and I lived in San Diego and we started doing a podcast and then, yeah, I think it was at least a year into it before we actually met in person. So,
yeah. Well, and it's cool too when you have these events, like we were talking about that little pizza party thing. I mean, you get to come together and it's like you just kind of picked up where you left off, even if it's the first time you're meeting, you know. And I'm sure, especially, excuse me, like with your situation of not, because I mean, the countless hours you spent talking with that person, you know what I mean? You have a relationship, regardless if you're physically there or not. You know, there's something that you guys can talk about once you get to that point.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's awesome, man. I really love it. I'm loving too the little practice space you got back behind there, man.
Yeah.
Is that, what do you have? What is that amplifier? I see it's
which one?
The gray 212 on your, what would that be? Your left side?
Yeah, behind the blue guitar there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's a Benson Vincent.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Yep. So I haven't had an opportunity to play any of the Benson stuff. I've obviously been online a lot and checked them out, but that's one of those like bucket list items for me now. You know, I keep realizing I just need to get something like that. You know,
it's I'm hour away, man.
I know, man. See, and that's the other thing. See, I wasn't gonna say anything like that, but extend the invitation. I will be there. Yeah. Absolutely.
If nothing else, I love just sharing the things that I have because I've amassed a humble collection of things I think are cool, and I want to show other people that they're cool and why I think they're cool. So, yeah, man, don't even wait for me to invite. Just call me.
Fair enough. Well, that's the cool thing about gear, too, in the music world. There doesn't seem to be, like, as much gatekeepy competition stuff anymore. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Kind of that attitude you just shared is like, hey, man, if you want to come check it out, let's come check it out. You know, but just see what you like and... You're there to show off the stuff, not show off, but you know.
Oh yeah, yeah.
let people see what you got. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, do you have and forgive my ignorance on this? Do you still have like a normal, quote unquote, 9 to 5
that
you
work?
Or yeah, okay, that's what I figured as much.
I'm an electrician, so.
Nice.
I have a 6 to 2:30, not a 9 to 5.
Oh, that's fair. Well, yeah. I have a Mine is. I always like when people talk about the 9 to 5 for me because I'm like mine is 6 p.m. to 6 a.m.
Yeah,
so that's not as complete opposite, but it works. But it's kind of cool with the gigging thing because I see two kind of, and this might just be my perspective, two kind of camps in like the Nashville areas. You have the hardcore cover guys and then you have the people that are doing their own thing, and the people that are doing their own thing varies wildly, and that's what I think I'm so much more attracted to that side of things, because you know just as well as I do, man, you could walk down Broadway and you're gonna hear the same song within about 2 minutes in like four different bars. It's like the exact same set list is on everybody's little whatever the stage is, it's the exact same set list.
Yeah,
and I think that's just what burnt me out so much. It's just like, oh great, these 80 songs again, great. And, you know, and just waiting for somebody to yell out the typical, what was the go-to?
Wagon wheel.
Yeah, you got wagon wheel. I was just about to say it, man. You already knew. But yeah. But with Night Tides, how are you guys like kind of delegating the writing, practice, gigging? You know, how does that kind of work in with you guys?
Our tradition is one night a week we practice. We do gigs when they fit into everybody's schedule.
Sure.
Because all of us have other jobs. I'm the only one, kind of the only one with a family right now. Our guitar player, he's got a girl that's got kids.
Okay.
So he's kind of building a family.
Sure.
And we just take gigs when we can. We did that, Music City Mayhem contest now 3 years in a row. And every time we are able to get gigs just from participating in that. So we don't do a whole lot of gig hunting ourselves. So we just try and keep practiced. We write songs. Ryan used to write the songs in their majority, and then we pieced our parts in. Mm-hmm. But now we've been transitioning towards writing together in the room, which has been a fun transition. So
for sure. Well, I've been in those situations too, where somebody has the bulk of the writing already done, and you kind of just fit in where you get in, sort of
Yeah.
thing, you know. But there's something about it when, you know, you're sitting in a room with a bunch of, you know, guys or girls that you're super cool with, and the next thing you know, something just clicks, and everybody just kind of gives everybody that look, like, oh, okay, this is something really cool that's happening, you
Yeah.
know. I've listened to a handful of things from you guys, and I'll be 100% honest, I haven't listened to as much as I'd like to. But for everybody listening right now, like, what would be like a general overview of the kind of sound that you guys are going for?
I think on paper we call it indie surf pop.
Cool. Okay.
It's Beatles, Beach Boys, ELO, Boston, and Jimmy Eat World.
Fair
So.
enough. There, like I said, when I was checking it out, I was definitely getting that, like, the surf thing makes so much sense now, because there was something I wasn't really kind of putting my finger on, and I was like, well, that makes a whole lot of sense now.
Yeah.
It's really cool. What are you using on your bass rig with Night Tides? Or is it kind of like a constantly evolving thing that you're just kind of plugging and playing wherever,
I
you
keep
know?
it pretty straightforward on bass.
Okay.
In the practice room, I goof off with different things, but mostly I have a Sarek bass,
Okay.
and I have a PV TNT 130, 130, I think it is, in the studio. It's just a big, loud, solid state PV amp. It's amazing. I love it.
Right.
And sometimes I use a Sans amp. Sometimes I use a little phaser,
Okay.
and that's about it.
Nice. Yeah,
Yeah.
that's probably the best way to do it as far as playing bass too, you know, just keep it as simple as you possibly can. To touch on the PV stuff, I work at a local mom and pop shop on and teach lessons. They
Yeah.
had a bunch of PV Bandits come in.
Really?
Somebody just like had a bunch of used ones, and I was like, "Hey, save one of those for me."
Yeah.
You know, I cannot believe I see it from time to time, just either on Facebook Marketplace, really. It's just like so much PV gear that people are almost just like giving away, it seems like
If you can
sometimes. You
pick
know
it
what I
up,
mean?
you can take it.
Yeah, right. You know? And I think I was listening to you, oh, what was it on? The Tone Jerks podcast, I believe. And that line cracked me up, where you pretty much said something like, "What, you hauled this around for 20 years and broke your back, and now you're just gonna hand it away to everybody?" I was like, yeah, that's like real stuff right there. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. Yeah,
Like,
the PV bass amp I'm using at the studio, I mean, it weighs as much as a car almost,
oh,
but
yeah,
it's
you know.
great.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, put it in the back of, you know. I remember I used to have a little hatchback, and anytime I loaded up anything crazy, like, I remember this one guy, he wanted to get this used, what was it? Oh, yeah, those big 810 SVT cabs
Yeah.
barely fit in the back of my car. And man, when we got that thing in there, and I had this little like Ford hatchback thing, the suspension just sunk down. I'm like, dude, I don't know about this, man. This is going to be super dangerous to try to get this home, you know, and we're only going a couple miles, but I don't know if the car's going to make it, man.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with the PV stuff, though. Like, I picked up one of those Bandits, and granted, they're not as heavy as some of the other stuff from them, but I was still like, man, this thing is beefy just for, you know, a small little solid state amp, you know?
Yeah.
So, but they're killer.
I just saw, because I was on Facebook Marketplace today looking at PV stuff, and there was, I think it was called a Solo 130 or a Special 130.
Okay.
It's a early 80s solid state guitar amp. And so I looked up the spec on it at 47 pounds for a single 12 amp.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, man. And I really want a solid state amp though, because I want to try to do some stereo stuff, and I think I could get this cool mix with, you know, whatever I'm running for tubes plus that solid state amp.
Yeah.
But it's just one of those things where, man, if I get something like that, it's just gonna live in the practice space. I'm not gonna be moving that thing around,
No, yeah.
you know.
It
It's just,
lives where it lives.
yeah. It's gonna be a pain just to get it in the car, let alone, you know, when I get it upstairs in my bonus room, and I'm just like, yep, that's where it's gonna stay now. So.
Yeah, when I brought that PV bass amp home, I brought it up here because I'm in the finished bonus room also, and I brought it upstairs and I'm like, I'm gonna take it to the studio, and it's going to stay there. It's never coming back up here.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe if I was gigging more, I might, you know, entertain ideas like that. But I mean, to be honest with you, man, I'll take it occasionally if a cool gig comes up.
Yeah.
But I'm not really hunting for that sort of thing anymore. You know, I think it kind of ebbs and flows for me.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I really want to get out and gig, and sometimes I'm just like, you know, making a YouTube video sounds a lot better.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of weird. But at the same time, though, I was thinking about this today, actually. You know, I've had people that I've talked to, especially some of the younger students that I'm teaching, and, you know, I'm trying to get, like, ideas of goals so we can get finish lines and, you know, we can see where we're going to be at in the next year or whatever. And there's this one kid, and I asked him what he wanted to do with guitar, and he said, make it. I said, well, man, what does that mean?
Like, you know, make a guitar? Like,
no, like, yeah, right. Yeah, make a guitar. I was like, what do you mean make it? He's like, well, I want to be the next whoever. I was like, okay. But once again, what does that really mean? Like, you don't have like and I'm not trying to say it's not attainable. I'm just saying these baby steps, we're kind of skipping past everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're coming at 1 year on guitar, and next thing you know, it's just like, yeah, I'm only 13. When I'm 21, I'm going to be the next big thing. It's like, okay, I'm here for the lofty ambition, man. But
yeah, those guys exist.
They do. The problem that I have is I'm trying to establish like checkpoints for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, okay, well, let's just get here first. Let's get here first. Because I can't remember who it was. But somebody was talking. It was like a TED Talk thing. And it's like, you know, all the people that talk about wanting to make it, and the goal is, you know, the huge house with, you know, thousands of dollars or hundreds of thousands of dollars, whatever you want to call that, making it successful, being the next big thing, are usually the people that usually fall short.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they don't have that an original attainable goal. And I'm not trying to say like shoot low. I'm just saying have a stepping stone sort of progress of,
yeah,
like, okay, this year I'm going to get this done. Next year, if this gets done, I'm going to try for this.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's really important for musicians to have, to kind of stay grounded in that aspect, because you look online, you can see a 12-year-old that's playing, you know, way above your level, and you'll never,
yeah,
get to that point, regardless of the instrument. You know,
mm-hmm,
what I mean? Like you said, those crazy prodigies exist. But it's really awesome to watch a lot of the social media stuff, and you don't have to be what's the quote-unquote really good at guitar or really good at the instrument anymore. You know what I mean? You just have to have that personal touch of what you are and be authentic with your audience. The next thing you know, and it's the same thing whether you're doing that for social media or even in a band, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's kind of what I liked when you were talking about, you know, already having like an established vision, because I don't think a lot of bands really do that. They're just like, ah, oh, let's get together and let's see what happens, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm a big believer in like, you can't define a thing until everybody's involved, because
sure,
it takes everybody to make it happen. But it's also a good exercise for like the Night Tides thing, where we have an aesthetic, we have kind of a sonic goal that we're going for, that we're all working towards that as well. Is like, it's a stretch in a different way for us, and it's a different type of accomplishment. And
yeah,
and like you said, it gives us a stepping stone, like we're working towards a thing.
Yeah. Well, and it's real important to have that camaraderie early on in a band. You know,
mm-hmm,
what I mean? Of like, you don't want any misconceptions, you know, between individuals that are playing in a band. Because next thing you know, it's, maybe I'm just a little jaded from playing in bands, but you get this like animosity almost that starts to like,
oh, yeah,
kind of just slowly bubble up. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, somebody's pissed,
mm-hmm,
about something that doesn't even matter. You know what I mean?
Like a random pedal that just goes beep, boop, beep, boop, beep, boop, beep, boop, and annoys everybody else in the band. Yeah, like that.
Right, exactly. What are some of the beep, boop pedals that you're really into here lately?
The Mattoverse Octostep is like one of my go-tos. I love it.
Okay.
But it annoys the piss out of everybody around always, so.
Well, you know, I'm sure you're not stepping on it, you know, every other song, right?
It's no, just a, no, no.
Yeah.
It's an end of set type of thing.
Exactly. Yeah.
But, you know, not everybody enjoys it.
Well, you know, they'll be okay for, you know, just an end of set thing. It's no big deal.
Yeah.
I really need to. I've never been like really, really big into the gear side of things. I've just gotten stuff that I need for gigs,
mm-hmm.
you know? So, I got one of the best and worst compliments, I think, the other day, talking about how my pedal board was way too many drives and kind of vanilla. I was like, oh, well, looking at the board, I'm like, yeah, it is a lot of drives. I should probably get some weird stuff. You know what I mean? But then I'm sitting there like, I don't know how to use it. But then I always go back to it. You get something that you're not used to playing, all of a sudden it inspires you to
mm-hmm.
write something completely different than what you're used to. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The Slicer was one of the best things that I ever got.
My bucket list, yeah.
Yeah. I didn't even know how to use it. And I'm just sitting here like, well, let's see what happens, you know? And next mm-hmm. thing you know, I'm just coming up with these crazy rhythms. And then, you know, adding some delays and stuff to get some weird polyrhythms that happen in between these. It was insane. You know, and to my wife and to my kids, it was probably just noise.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, beep boops, just annoying people.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, up in that space for that, you know, hour, I was just like, man, this thing is so rad.
Yeah.
And that's just one of the many, you know, just crazy things that are out and about in the world right now.
Yeah.
You know,
the floodgates have opened.
Yeah.
Sounds. So.
Yeah. Oh, and I've been kind of taking Philip Carter from the 40 Watt podcast, his approach. I've been kind of creeping on reverb, waiting for somebody to drop a ridiculously low, Microcosm.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You know, just to snag one for, you know, a good price and then have it and see what I can do with it. You know
what
I mean?
Is that their phaser?
No, that's like, I don't know what it is.
Okay.
It does like a delay synthy oscillating. I don't know. It's okay. It's a lot.
Sounds great.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry. I'm one of the most horrible people to define what gear actually does. Cause I'm just like, yeah, it does the thing. It's cool. You know what I mean? I don't know. Like I said, dude, I got like five drives on my board and a delay and I'm like, yeah, good for the gig. You know what I mean? Like
dirt is where your sound variety comes from, I think, personally.
True. But true.
Mine is usually for guitar. I have like three fuzzes and a couple distortions. So I get it. That is one
effect I still cannot get behind, man. And I know I'm missing out is fuzz. I'm trying so hard. I'm just one of those guys. I don't know what it is. I've tried a lot. I just can't find one that I really connect with. You know what I mean?
That's fine. It's more for me. So
no, I get it. And that, dude, that's what everybody always says. I'm like, yeah, but I want it too. Cause I see you guys playing and it sounds so good. And you guys have that smile on your face when you kick it on and just start doing something nuts. But I don't know, man. I just can never find a fuzz that I'm really enjoying. I was talking to Brian Wampler a few weeks ago about that. And he's like, well, you know, I made the Velvet fuzz for guitar players that don't like fuzz. I'm like,
yeah.
I know you did. I just need to probably just go ahead and do that. But I need more boot boot pedals, like you said, man.
Boot boots are good.
I know, you know. And the bad thing is the slicer I had is not mine. It's a friend of mine. I had it. I was going to buy it from him, and then he realized he wanted it back after I was playing on it for a while.
Ah.
So I guess I can just go buy one, but, you know, sometimes that's not... not the best thing to do in some situations, you know. It's hard to justify some days, which I'm sure you can understand with the wife and whatnot.
Yep. Yeah,
but it's all good.
Yeah. You get it when you can, and that's all you need to do.
Yeah. I don't know, man. It's I feel like sometimes whenever I have like builders or people that are like super, super into gear. It's a good thing, in my opinion, because I am so ignorant to that stuff, and I learn something every time I talk to those guys.
Yeah.
You know, just learn a plethora of information. You know, talking to guys like Austin from Runway Audio, I did not know there was so much that went into just guitar cables.
Yeah.
You know, me being that ignorant guitar player is just like, yep, plug it into the amp, plug it in the guitar, good to go. You know what I mean? I don't need anything more than that. And then you plug one of his in, and it's just like, oh, well, there is more to that. Same thing with guys that build pedals, and same things with guys and girls that do, you know, the more boutique guitars and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it's so wild. And that's another reason why I didn't want to leave this area. And I'm sure it was kind of the same thing in San Diego, you know what I mean? Because there are a lot of people out there that are doing the building stuff.
Yeah.
But down here, man, it's just, it seems like every other day there's somebody new popping up making pedals or making guitars or making something.
Yeah.
You know, and it's so cool to see because the end result's always the same, but the story of how they got there is never the same.
Yeah. It's different for everybody. And like,
yeah.
And, you know, I'm sure when you interview people, it's like everybody's at a different place in their process of, you know, either
yeah.
starting or like building their following. I think I was listening to, what's his name? Xander? Was it Xander Raymond recently?
The yeah.
episode mm-hmm. you had. And like, he was just talking about how he was just rebranding himself recently. And
yeah.
So yeah, everybody's in a different state all the time of what they're doing
yeah.
with it. So
there's, well, always, I think
there's always something to add.
There always is. And I think it's really important to relay that to people because at the surface level, especially on social media, they just see the successes that people have.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They do not see any of the struggle that it took that individual to get to that point. You know,
mm-hmm.
they're looking at a massive YouTube channel and they're like, oh, well, I'm never going to get 300,000 subscribers, or I'm never going to get this many views on a short. You know, I'm never going to be in a band where we get to open up for insert, you know, your favorite band or your favorite, or play at one of your favorite festivals. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, well, with that attitude, yeah, 100% you're not.
I mean, I've always just aspired to play dive bars for three people. I mean,
yeah,
because that's what I like it.
Yeah. Well, and it's awesome. I've played some of these bars where I'm literally playing to the walls,
mm-hmm.
and it's like the most fun practice you're ever going to have.
Yeah.
Because gloves are off. You can do whatever you want. The only people in the bar is the one bartender, you know, and they're just having the best time in the world.
Yeah.
And it's great, you know. It's kind of like that up in Clarksville. It's either you're playing to a packed bar, like unbelievably packed, or you're playing to nobody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's no in between. And I personally love the playing to nobody. It's
yeah.
it's so nice, man. it's one of those gigs where it's so low stress. Just show up. Okay, well, I can park right up front, first of all. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's always, you know, good.
and the next thing you know, it's like, well, we're still going to get a little bit of change for this, and we're just going to practice for however long the gig is.
Yeah.
You know? So... Yep. It makes it kind of easier, especially when I was doing it, it was more cover stuff. So we had, you know, at least a idea of how long we were going to be there. There's been some people that I've seen that just kind of go out, especially in Clarksville. They'll go out and judge their set list off of how many people are there. I'm like, dude, just get out
really?
And play, man. Yeah, just get out and play. You know, you were booked for a set amount of time. It doesn't matter how many people are there, man.
Yeah.
Because... even if nobody's there, you're still getting the experience under your belt, you know?
Mm-hmm. And I mean, we played Amarillo a few months ago, and
okay.
I would say when we got there, the place was empty and it was dead, and it seemed like it was going to be kind of a dead night. And we opened, and as we were playing, the place started to fill out. And then by time, you know, the band we were on the road with, once they hit, the place was full and it was great. So mm-hmm. you never know, like crowds are just late sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. And I can't tell you how many times, you know, playing support for, you know, bands coming through town, especially some of the smaller bands that would come through Clarksville. You know, that's kind of the thing. You get some bands that would be pissed off about, you know, nobody being at the show. It's like, well, I'm not trying to be an asshole when I say this to you guys, but they're not here to see you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like they're here to see the headliner, you know, whoever that band is. And sometimes, like you said, they would show up early
yeah.
for the gigs, and they would watch every single band that would open, you know.
Yep.
It didn't happen very often, but you know, sometimes they would, and it was always a good time.
Yeah.
But you can never rely on like I don't know. I've just never thought about it in that aspect. You know, like I just want to go out and play and have a good time.
And I enjoy writing. I enjoy recording. But yeah. The thing I like doing most is playing on a stage.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's because I'm into myself or what, but that's the part I enjoy the most. So.
Yeah, it's kind of weird for me, man, because I kind of have that like ebb and flow thing again. You know, sometimes I don't want to go play live and sometimes I do. I think it's entirely dependent on who I'm playing with. I'm sure mm-hmm. that's the biggest factor of it right there. Or who we're opening for. There's a story I've told on here before. We opened up for Trapped one time. They came through town. Nice. I was not excited about that gig. No. I just, you know, it's one of those bands that they were good in the early 2000s and they're still good. I watched their set. It was mm-hmm. still a good set. It sounded great. It's just the whole online presence that dude had for a little while just really rubbed me the wrong way. And I was just, it was one of the best, like as far as crowd participation gigs I've ever played. I just had the worst time in the world. Mm. Just, you know, I don't know. That's just me being me, I suppose. But,
I mean, I don't know much about them. I know they I think Headstrong was their hit, right?
That's about it.
And I remember I was digging a ditch in downtown San Diego one time, and their tour bus pulled up, mm-hmm. and I saw the singer get off the bus, and he was carrying a baby, and mm-hmm. like what I assumed was maybe his wife or girlfriend following right behind him, and he carried the baby into the venue. And at that point, I'm like, huh, he's a family dude, and he's a rock star. That's cool.
Right.
And that's about all I ever paid attention to them.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not trying to say any ill will against the band at all. I'm sure, you know, everybody in that band is great. It just, the perception is a reality, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel really bad because I even had people that saw me after we got done playing, like, hey, are you okay? I'm like, well, great. Now I just perceived that I was having a horrible time and now everybody saw it. You know what I mean? Which made me feel even worse. But I will say, learning experience from that gig, I will never, ever, ever let that happen again on stage. I'm always going to get up there. I'm going to have the best time in the world, even if I'm not having the best time in the world.
Yeah.
Because you owe it to the people that you're playing for, you know what I mean? To get up there and have that facade of that rock star, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They're coming to see a band to kind of get away from the normal life they have, you know what I mean? They don't want to watch their next door neighbor on stage.
Right. Yeah. No matter what level you're at, if there's people there watching you, they're watching you to be something different than a normal person.
Yeah. Well, I've brought this up before too, because being a musician, you are in a small minority of people in the entire world, especially in the United States. There's not many people that play an instrument.
Yeah.
At least if you looked at it from the total people in the country, or even, I'll just keep it in the country. And then on top of that, the number even dwindles further when you talk about people that actually go gig. And like you said, even at any level, you know, not very many people go do that. And the people that come see live music like that, that's what they're kind of doing. They're almost having that like living vicariously through you for that moment. You know what I mean? So you owe it to them, not to yourself, but to them to put on a good performance for them, you know? Have there ever been any horror story gigs since you've been in Nashville? I'm sure there were a lot in San Diego, but any like nightmare gigs scenarios or anything like that?
Not really yet. Night Tide stuff has treated me pretty well, honestly.
Nice.
We just kind of. I mean, I don't know if you've ever been to Cobra.
Yeah.
I don't know if I should drop names of venues, but that place I didn't care for a whole lot.
Okay. If you'd like me to, I can edit that name out.
Yeah, that's right. I will say the staff was extremely nice.
Yeah.
I just felt like the room wasn't good. The vibe of the venue was off-putting to me. I'll put it that way.
I'm sorry.
No, that's right. Yeah.
There's just an up-and-coming band that just started getting together, and I'm super excited about them here in Clarksville. They went and played at the Cobra a few months ago, and they kind of had the same sort of vibe.
Yeah.
So...
It didn't feel comfortable to be there.
Right.
So not really a horror story because, like I said, all the staff was cool and had no problems with anybody there, not even sound, you know?
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of the biggest battles right there for me, is especially in There was one big venue in Clarksville that we always used to play out called the Warehouse. And it's not open anymore. They ended up selling it to build like residential, like it's off the Cumberland River. So they're building apartments or something right there. Sound guy, nicest guy in the world. Great dude. He had his nights though, man, where he just was off, you know, and you're sitting there listening to the bands, or even when you were on stage, it would just, it would be so bad. And it, like, it just ruins, like, even if you try to push through that sort of thing, it just kind of ruins the vibe. You can look out in the crowd and you can see that they're like, keep looking over at a certain instrument. It's like, well, I know that's way too loud out in the mains right now. Yeah. You know what I mean? Or every time somebody, you know, I'm kind of sad it shut down, because we did play a lot of gigs there back in the day, and I like going there to see bands. But at the same time, man, it was kind of hit or miss with sound there.
Yeah.
It was pretty bad some nights. And I don't think I'm the only one that will, you know, attest to that. But once again, I don't know if I should be dropping names. I guess it doesn't matter because they're not open anymore. But, you know.
And, you know, you get more popular when you stir up controversy. So
that's true. You know, that's what I need to do, I guess, you know, just start writing hateful songs or making hate YouTube videos or whatever you want to, you know, this sucks, you know, type of title, you know, that's or whatever you want
to
call it.
I'm just here to say I am who I am, and I'm sorry that you felt that way about it.
Right. There you go. Hey, if you guys ever write something like, you know, kind of quasi offensive that people could take offensively, that's how you could end the set, and that's how you could end it with your poops behind it. You know what I mean?
Just really sorry. Lay into it.
Well, you never know, man. It might be the thing that pushes you guys up to the next level. You know what I mean? Stir up that controversy a little bit. I think it's better these days for that not to happen, though. You know, as far as playing music and stuff like that, because kind of like what I said earlier, people are coming to see you, one, because they're fans of you. And if it's the first time they see you play somewhere, you know, they already have a certain expectation based off your online presence. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the second you start to deviate from that, people kind of start getting weird, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. It's the online thing. I like it. I have fun with it. I think that it can be a time suck, but.
Sure.
It's cool. I like it.
Well, once again, you got to prioritize, right?
Yeah.
You know, you have to, like you kind of were talking about, you know, having a general direction, a sonic direction with the band, but you also have to have that social media direction as well. But the more you dwell on just the individual pieces of a band, the more the other ones are going to suffer because you're not paying them any more attention.
Yeah.
You know? So, you know, just because your online presence is awesome, but your songwriting starts to suck. I mean, what good is it at that point? You know what I mean? You're going to start putting out music that nobody wants to listen to. So, but what's on the horizon for you individually and Night Tides as a whole for the next, I don't know, let's say year or two? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, by the end of this year, I plan on putting out 5 songs of my own. New, fresh songs is the goal. I'm working... getting pretty close on finishing writing 5 new songs.
Nice.
I started some pre-production just last week on them.
Cool.
And it'll either be under my name, Co, or some other stupid thing I come up with. But Night Tides, we have one song that's a cover that's tracked and recorded, ready to release, and we're working on a new original single that's going to come out hopefully in the next month or two.
Nice.
Nice. We're kind of on a summer hiatus because I had a new baby. And
congratulations, by the way.
Thank you. Yeah, they just keep coming. I don't know what the deal
is. Oh, I know, man.
And then, you know, it's summertime, so everybody's kind of taking vacations and time to themselves. So we're not really gigging at the moment, but we'll probably start looking to gig again in the fall.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, and before we wrap this up, let's get all those plugs out of the way for you and for Night Tides as well. Where can we find you and Night Tides at?
Instagram is probably the best place for all those things. Night Tides is NITE Tides. And then I am Co, like Joe, but with a C, Schneider.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. Awesome. Well, I will have all of those linked down below, and you guys need to check out everything that Co is up to on his Instagram, because I really love it. And then everything Night Tides is up to as well. not just now, but in the future as well, just like you guys were told. So, hey, not a problem, man. Co, I really had a good time, man. I appreciate you coming on. I'm sorry if I rambled too much. I kind of get into these modes of talking way too much, so I do apologize if I did. But I really appreciate you taking the time, man. I had a good talk.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I feel totally undeserving, and I love it.
Oh, no, dude. You're way cooler than me in every way, dude. You're fine. but for Co, we're going to go ahead and wrap this episode up, and we will check you guys next week on Man the Helm Podcast.